This is how we do. This is Patrick Bateman.
We on. This is Peter Michaels. This is...
Episode 83 of a show called The Road, The Stage.
The Stage.
Let it linger.
This episode's a bit of a weird one.
I kind of screwed things up.
Oh, you wanted to linger? You can just stare at the camera. This episode's a bit of a weird one because a couple weeks ago... kicked off the holiday season here at in Red Deer and at Bo's.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen what Bo's looks like during the holiday season, go check out their Instagram, Bo's Bar and Stage.
Christmas throwed up everywhere.
Yeah, lots of concerts. Lots of concerts that we've been waiting for many months, if not a year.
Yeah.
And someone decided to get sick. Sick. You got fucked up.
Roll through these. It was not pretty at all whatsoever.
Sucks.
Just out of it from... I think it was a Saturday night through a Wednesday. I couldn't get out of bed.
Yeah, that sucks.
Like, just knocked the fuck out.
So you missed the Headstones?
Okay. Do we have to really go through this?
You missed Hotel Mirror and Deer Rouge.
Boy Golden and the Sheepdogs. Of all the weeks to get sick, and I was looking forward to. And honestly, dude, the Headstones, back to our old radio days. That was one band where anytime we had a concert announcement, we're like, oh, listen, everybody's like, Headstones.
Mm-hmm.
I've been waiting so long to see that band
at
that venue.
Yeah.
They were here 2 years ago for the Canada
2019,
Winter Games,
right?
Which was cool.
Yeah.
That was fine.
Outdoors.
Indoor, outdoors. But that band at that venue, I got fucking sick.
Well, I heard it was great.
Yeah, as did I multiple times throughout that evening.
Very, very good.
I got a lot of texts. And again, just to see the juxtaposition of Hugh Dillon and all of his vitriol and anger and in a fucking Christmas setting.
Yeah.
With all the joys of the season around it. Ugh, man, that. And I love Boy Golden.
Yep.
Thankfully, I've saw Boy Golden a couple of times this year. Mm-hmm. So, whatever. Sheepdogs in that venue would have been great. Deer Rouge, Danielle's mom came up and did a song with her.
So basically,
time to get sick.
In full transparency, you were sick. You missed a lot of days that you wanted to be at Bo's. Not a place to be when you're sick, dealing with touring bands.
If I'm being honest, I think I might have caught something from somebody that was at a show earlier in that week. Because there was a dude sitting or standing not too far from me that was... hacking up a lung pretty good. And that's, you know what? That's one thing I hoped that would come out of all of this. If you're sick, just stay home.
Yeah. Totally.
Just stay home.
And that goes for us too, especially when we have
100%.
Interviews booked.
I would feel horrible if I had gone to those shows and then find out the bands are sick afterwards or whatever. It's just...
not worth it.
Not worth it at all. With everything that's going on in the touring industry right now, stay home.
So with that being said, that resulted in an interview, a Peter Michaels interview.
Kind of.
So we decided that day that you're still recovering, probably not the best idea to be at the bar. We had to sit down with Mike and Charlie, or I had to sit down with Mike and Charlie from Hotel Mira. And it was weird. It was interesting not having a co-host.
Was there any like awkward gaps where you're waiting for me to say something stupid?
No. I remembered that you weren't there.
Okay, good.
it is what it is. And at the end of the day, you missed a fun interview and a good show.
Yeah.
And you kept them healthy. So
we've had Hotel Mira in the old radio days and had some fun with them back then as well. And, disappointing to not be able to be there, but I look forward to just being a fan. Now I get to be, I'm going to get my critique on.
Back to air check days. In the radio business, when someone in a bossly position is critiquing their on-air talent, it's called an air check.
They were always pleasurable experiences.
I never had a bad air check with one Peter Michaels.
It's not exactly how I remember it, but might have been a couple that were a little iffy. No, they were all good.
Who are we joined by this week?
As always, thank you. Sawback Brewing Company, Ghost Services, Inc., our pals at Bo's Bar and Stage.
Camille Creative Studios, the second home that we didn't know we needed and couldn't keep this thing going without. So, producers Ryan and Riley. True gems.
Over to episode 83 with Hotel Mira.
Does everyone have equal shares with driving, or How does that work?
Usually me, Clark, and Cole. Clark being the guitarist. Yeah.
Cole somehow being the drummer. I missed the meeting and I've never driven.
No, it's just we usually have a main driver, and then the rental allows two subs.
Yeah.
And it just kind of falls that way.
Right.
So, for example, on our American tour, our tour manager was also a driver. So in the hierarchy, I got knocked off, so I didn't have to do any driving.
Oh, okay. So. Did you enjoy that?
I do like driving. Like, it's a nice change of pace. Like, obviously, it's, like, kind of sick to just sit and, like, not do anything.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is a nice change of pace. And I can also be, like, what's the word I'm looking for? I have, like, the last say on what we're listening to if I'm driving. And I really like that autonomy.
Huge. Huge. Yeah. So what about you as the non-driver? Where do you sit?
Ooh, it depends. I think I'm a pretty good co-pilot.
Yeah.
I'm very encouraging and, and kind to the driver.
Yeah, whenever I'm driving, I usually like having Charlie as my co-pilot because we can just like talk shop about music up front, and like obviously when you're like listening to stuff, it blasts the front better. So we'll be listening to records and be like, oh, like, you know,
key change.
Yeah, so we're like, yeah, we'll just talk about the music. Yeah, and if I'm like, if I'm co-piloting, or if I'm in like the, if I'm co-piloting, I'm up front, but like if I'm in the back, I'm just like huddled over on my Switch playing Pokemon or something.
Right.
Like
Yeah. So, and I, Peter had mentioned that my co-host Peter Michaels, obviously not here for this very interview on the road to the stage, but he had mentioned that you guys are big road gamers.
Is that true?
You, Mike?
Well, it depends. It depends. I'm definitely the one who's like bringing the consoles and gaming, but I would not. It would be...
I play a game every day called Try Not to Get Too Sad.
Yeah.
Sounds exciting.
We also
Independent release.
I'm sure you've played before.
We also...
Best part is you always lose.
The other thing I would... Like, we do... Nice. We've been playing a lot of video poker recently.
Oh, that's true.
What do you mean video? Like, just...
like we have an app that use. And then so, like, Cole, who's, like, the poker guy in the band, will basically start a game and he'll host it. And it'll have like a join lobby code friend number sort of thing, and he'll drop it in like our group chat, and it'll be like, all right, let's go, $10 buy-in. And
it's a lot of fun.
That's sick.
I always lose. I'm so bad. I'm getting better, but I'm still bad.
So I actually just a few months ago started playing poker online too, not with like real money or anything. My little brother's kind of been like guiding me along the process. Yeah. I'm not a smart guy.
No.
But it's like once you get into the habit of like what you're seeing on the table and in your hand, it seems to be connections are made a little easier.
You kind of start that. I'm like the worst person to ask about it because I lose consistently, but
he's the only person who hasn't been playing since they were a kid.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So like he's got a long way to go before understanding like how the average game goes.
Yeah.
And that's like, that's natural.
Yeah. So when you get your two cards and you're only playing your friends in the van, do you ever ask them like, oh, should I?
No, it's cutthroat. It's
they don't help you at all.
Yeah. No, it's
trial by fire. You got
never would. it's basically, I'm at a level
we
where
we never even considered that.
Yeah,
like, you bringing that up right now is like, oh my god, yeah, we could do that.
We could, but we're also against each other. So
yeah,
like,
that's fair.
But it's like for me where I'm at, I'm kind of like, I know when I have something good, but I don't know how to like progress it in a way that's beneficial to me.
Yeah.
And I'm also impatient. Like I'll go in on stuff just because I want to be playing.
Yeah.
Which is honestly why I lose all the time.
It is a fun game though, especially if you're looking to pass the time.
Yeah. And that's like the main thing.
Yeah.
I think what you have to kind of do in poker is enjoy watching other people play.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And learning from that. And so that way when you're sitting out on a hand, it's not passive. You're still, you know, getting the lay of the land. And
yeah.
I love that about it.
So any casino stops on tour then?
Not for us.
For Cole. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. No,
he likes being near a casino.
Yeah, we... On an American tour, we had a stop. We went to Vegas.
Oh, you did? Did you play a show there? Or you
we
just
didn't play
right?
A show.
Sure didn't.
We were playing San Diego, and then we were playing Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
So we had like a day off between San Diego and Salt Lake City because I guess you can't do that drive in a day. And our tour manager had us mapped out to like going to like kind of like a nowhere town, staying the night and having a shorter drive to San Diego or to Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
And I emailed them and I was like, Vegas is kind of just like in the middle of this drive. Can we just like, you know, drive for 6 hours this day and like have a bit of a longer drive on the San Diego day? And they were like, absolutely. And they were like, don't lose all the money you've made on tour.
And this is, was this the stretch you did with the Zolas?
Yeah, just this past summer.
Right. How was that?
It was amazing.
Yeah, that was life affirming.
Was it?
Yeah, for us, you know, like to be in a city that you'd never been before.
Yeah.
And then you show up and there's, you know, 250 kids. It's like, who know every word and they're there to see you and have been into it for a while or whatever. It was like pretty unexplainably kind of rad. Like I never really thought about Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
So to find out that we had a following there.
And that we crushed that show. That was such a fun show in D.C.
That was awesome. And then, yeah, like, just about all my favorite music comes from New York, and we played
sold out.
Yeah, we sold out the Mercury Lounge.
Nice. Yeah.
And that's where like the Strokes and the Yeah Yeah Yeahs and Interpol got their start. So for me, it was like wildly full circle because I lived and studied in New York for a while. Yeah, that's. I don't know.
That's not for you guys.
That's my old professor calling me.
Yeah.
telling me. So around then, I was like, yeah, I just kind of really gotten super into music and entertainment and studying and wanting to dedicate my life to it, and New York was such a big part of that, living there and studying there. And I remember being like, whoa, like, this place is incredible. This energy is electric. I want to be a part of it. And, you know, I'd just be going to shows or plays or just things were happening. And I was so taken aback by it. In the back of my head, I was like, I would love to be one of these, you know, coming attractions someday. Yeah. And I got back to Vancouver and some, you know, kind of unfortunate circumstances. I was mistreated by a lot of people who didn't like how ambitious and passionate I was after getting back from New York. And that really took the wind out of my sails for a very long time. And so it was unbelievable to be back in New York kind of with that same passion and ambition and energy. But then when I got back to Vancouver, I didn't have anybody take it away from me.
Why do you think people were trying to take it away from you or I don't know, suppress it when you first got back? You think that it was like there's envy there, or?
Yeah, well, definitely.
Yeah. You just came in too hot in their eyes, you think, or?
I think that human insecurity and fragility around anything kind of competitive can be wildly insidious, and if there's a it can turn to Lord of the Flies really quickly.
Yeah.
So it's just like, oh, we all decided that person is worth tearing apart, and we have some, like, we can all brainwash ourselves into thinking there's some sort of moral high ground or righteousness to mess with them. So I think there was that, and honestly, like, I've been on the business end of that too. You know, I've found myself in social settings or work settings where, you know, you notice that somebody's boisterous or annoying or whatever, and maybe you're alone and you're rolling your eyes, and then somebody comes up next to you and goes like, can you believe this guy? And you go like, oh my God, thank you. Yeah. Like, it's, it's, It's obnoxious.
Wildfire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, but then, so I think a certain amount of, like, a common enemy is healthy. It's really hard to be that enemy, for sure. Or not even healthy, but just natural, I think. And, you know, these people just really took it too far.
Yeah.
They really wanted, they were out for blood.
So and, you literally are explaining Lord of the Flies then. Basically, we're approaching someone having a rock in their hand.
I believe that with certain individuals, if it ended that way, and they didn't have to take any sort of accountability, that would have been the express purpose. Yeah.
God damn, that's heavy shit, man. And how long ago was that? Like, what? Because Mike, you joined the band.
That was like 10 years ago.
Six or seven years ago.
Yeah, I joined in 2017. I'd known Charlie for years and years. The reason how I met Charlie was my old high school metal band.
Nice.
Because we all had a high school metal band. That's just like the rite of passage.
Yeah.
Opened for Charlie's. High school metal band.
Can I get names?
Oh, man.
Please.
My high school metal band was called Super Extreme, and we shortened it to Sex.
Okay.
That rocks.
Yeah.
I had a band called The Color Broadcast.
That's way better than Super Extreme.
I think that was... Oh, yeah. At one point, we were called I Am Jack's Rage, which was a Fight Club reference.
Yeah.
But it didn't really take. But one of those was the band. That...
Yeah.
Okay.
But met Charlie, we hit it off, and we had always just stayed in touch due to similar, like, you know, like the era of just posting what you're listening to on Facebook and stuff like that. And it was always just like, oh, like, Charlie and I have very similar tastes. And then when the call came that Charlie needed a bass player, he hit me up and we jammed, and it was just like, right, like, we got this.
Cool.
It was weirdly a no-brainer on some pretty, like, interesting... There's just a shared interest, like, Venn diagram between me and Mikey that is like a circle.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, in terms of, like, the
hard
music
to define.
We'd want to make
yeah.
and the music that, like...
We do make.
Yeah, you know. So I remember working on new tunes and just specifically being like, you know, that like one part of this, you know, obscure local band and this one like bridge, etc. Like, I kind of want to go for something like that, but combined with this other obscure reference and whatever.
Yeah.
David Lynch and
Studio
Ghibli.
Yeah,
and, like,
our shorthand is like really, really good.
It's absurd.
Like, we can just like talk. We can be like, this is a pretty broad reference because I think a lot of people would know what this would say. But like if we're like, oh, this part should be more strokesy, we can like snap into it and be like, right, like now now we're in it. But like more in depth than all, like, I think like I said, strokesy is like pretty broad. I think.
Yeah,
but
I get what you're saying.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So no, it's more like, you know, like in First Impressions of Earth.
Yeah, yeah.
On Ask Me Anything.
Yeah,
do
yeah,
you know
yeah, yeah,
the like
yeah.
one part where the voice
yeah.
lilts like this?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah. Exactly.
I want to do that, but like have it be more like Rich
yeah, yeah.
on Fever to Tell.
Yeah,
by
yeah,
yeah,
exactly,
yes.
exactly.
Yeah.
It's pretty.
So it's
this
like
is
yeah,
how, this
and,
is how
and,
we write
and,
songs.
Yeah, it's like. It's like twins with a secret language.
Mm-hmm. Right, which not everyone has. In fact, most people don't.
Yeah,
that sounds really lucky.
Yeah, I'm very grateful for it. It's like, I think there's a type of person who, like, you can tell they just, like, Charlie and I grew up watching videos of, like, Brandon Flowers and Julian Casablancas and being like, those are the coolest people on planet Earth.
Mm-hmm.
How can we get there?
Yeah.
And it's like, that drive is, like, among many common threads, a very strong common thread.
Okay, cool. I was trying to find our interview from the last time we talked.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I couldn't find it, but I think it was, was it 2018? Does that make sense?
That sounds right, yeah.
You guys would have been in town with USS and the Elwins.
I don't think I was on that one, actually.
You were definitely at, you weren't in the interview,
yeah,
but
yeah, no,
you were
I was here.
Yeah. Because we actually did that interview in Peter's office at the radio station.
Gotcha. Unbelievable beyond meat burger that day.
Right Oh, yeah. Very so nice, good. Very
I was
nice.
Looking for it on the menu, but it wasn't here this day. Anyways, that's an aside.
But like, it for 2018 is a long time ago. It feels like that. Last time we talked was way longer than just 4 years ago, because it would have been fall.
Is that it?
It's almost five now.
Yeah, that's true. It's crazy.
It's crazy.
There you go.
Now, back
which
then...
Which means more like we've been making music together almost...
6 years.
Almost seven, right? Yeah, it's kind of like 2017.
Almost gotten our PhD.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
If you made it through
without
any breaks or pauses. Yeah. But yeah, 2018, that was a long fucking time ago.
Yeah, dude.
You guys were opening for USS and the Elwins. Congrats, you guys made it.
Yeah, exactly.
The last one standing.
Yeah.
I literally said that.
Yeah, we made that joke earlier.
In the van.
Like, I
love both bands. Like
Jay from USS is like our band dad. Like, like he's kind of like big brother sort of vibes in terms of like, not like watching us all the time, but like a figure that is just like
he'll just send the most genuine encouraging comment out of nowhere.
Yeah. Be like, and, oh, you guys are crushing it.
Yeah.
Like,
and then we were like,
the Elwins are dope.
And then we were like fans of the Elwins.
Yeah.
And we're weirdly sad to hear them hang up the skates, but you know, being in a band's fucking hard.
Not I mean, easy. Yeah, like as far as I know, like you went through many transitions.
I'm getting the picture that it might not be easy to be in a band with.
No, I think.
Well, that's no. He's proving. I think he's proving that you might be.
I think what it is, it's honestly TBD. No, I think ultimately what it is that when you're a musician in your 20s or in like you're starting out in a band, there's just like. There's a point where a lot of people realize that's not actually what they want to do. And with our current Hotel Mira lineup, we are road-worn sickos who cannot think about anything else to do with their lives other than play music.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the changes in personnel have to do with kind of just like life moments.
Yeah, totally.
Like actual like... what's the word I'm looking for? Actual like conflict, you know?
Well, and it goes back to what Charlie was saying about his ambition when you return to Vancouver. Yeah. Like to a degree, you could argue that everyone in your circle at that point wanted the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just not all of them had the same dedication or ambition, like you said, right? So
My circumstances were such where like it made it easier. And I you know, it was strangely motivated. I had a death of one of my best friends, and I kind of wasn't all that ambitious before then.
Interesting.
And then I went, you really get one shot at this.
Yeah.
And you know, it, like, not to get too armchair psychiatrist, but like. A certain amount of survivor's guilt just motivated me in this way that was blinders on. Like, so I was 18 and my really good friend Oliver was 18 and I was going to school. Like, I thought I was James Dean. I was going to acting school and like showing up for class drunk and chain smoking. And like, I thought those were the things that made you a good artist, and kind of fucking up. And then I get a call that my friend is diagnosed with leukemia, and you know, he was the soccer star, you know, set to kind of be this, you know, hugely successful, like one of the popular kids who like just happened to be nice to me, like one of those kind of people where it's like always with like, you know, only the good die young kind of stuff, like. There's like exaggeration sometimes after someone dies, but like he was 18, he was nice to everybody, he was inclusive, he had so much going for him, he was so intelligent, he'd just gotten into business school and he was about to I think, be the captain of the soccer team for the college he was on. Leukemia, dead within 6 months. And, you know, I'd visit him in the hospital, and it just really made me go, I think that I have to, if I really want to do this thing in the way that he'll never get to, like, some of us get to have dreams that are mm-hmm. accomplished if we go for them, and some of those don't get that option whatsoever. It was kind of how black and white I made it in my eyes. And I get how that, if you can't go there or get that or get on my level, and I am, like, walking around like that's an assumed reality at 18, I get why that put a target on my back mm-hmm. in a way. But, I made a weird pact to myself that was, like, my fun in the world is going to be stuff that is productive.
Yeah, yeah.
Rather than reaching for television or getting fucked up or whatever it was, I was like, I'm going to learn how to do this thing in music or read a play or make my whatever it was, you know. That's kind of I think a lot where the early ambition came from, because before that I was just kind of I always wanted to do it, but like
different method.
It was a different thing for sure.
Yeah. Maybe looking at it in a different perspective than mm-hmm. where you should have been.
Like,
yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Like, I went to acting school because I couldn't get in anywhere else.
Yeah.
Like, and I was like playing in a band, and like, I'm sure it wasn't stuff that my folks were all like, yeah, this is going to go somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Know? No, and to echo the similarities, I had one of my best friends pass away. Like, in 2017, right before Charlie and I started playing together, and he and I wrote songs together. He was like my songwriting partner for years, and very similar things where it was just like, yeah, dude, like, just go for it. Like, what is, like, it really puts a lot of things into perspective.
And like, back then, well, when I met you guys in 2018, like, I was pretty impressed with how motivated you guys seemed. Mm-hmm. You were coming off of a pretty hot single, if I'm not mistaken, at that time. I was trying to remember what it was.
Jungle was on radio at that time.
I feel like we were playing a different song, though.
This Could Be It For Me came a bit later. I don't know what would have been at radio.
I think when we were playing you, we were playing a song that hadn't been picked up.
Oh, yet. Then it might have been like 3 a.m. Lullaby or like Ginger Ale or something
like that. I think so. I'm so terrible.
Oh, it's all good. It's so good. Terrible with names.
But even like this, like, you guys go through the pandemic.
Yeah.
You do whatever the fuck that entails, whether it's virtual concerts or just laying low.
Playing
or
so many video games.
That's good.
Yeah,
I'm glad.
Yeah.
And then you come out of the pandemic, like, where do you guys pick up from where things just completely paused?
The pandemic was a really interesting time for us because we released our last record, Perfectionism, essentially 2 weeks before the world shut down. And we had the lead single off Perfectionism, This Could Be It For Me, it hit number 4 in Canada.
Yeah, it was
so it was like all these like incredible career milestones that are just like, I'm still like blown away by it today,
mm-hmm.
but we couldn't tour it and we couldn't do anything about it other than, you know, the occasional live stream or like XYZ thing that you saw every band do during the pandemic. And it was one of these weird things. Like, I was having like a bit of a crisis where it was like, we are having so much like air quote success. Watch the video version if you want to see me do the air quotes. we are having so much of that like success happening on something that we didn't know how long the pandemic was going to last. So what was the staying power? So it's kind of like, how do we keep this momentum rolling? Because we're getting so much of it so early on. And we released more singles than they did fine at radio. And we just like, we had no measurement of like how that was going to be like transition to real life whenever we got to do it. And so when we went out with Azolas in Canada last year, it was super affirming. Like, even those like shows in Ontario,
mm-hmm.
where we just snuck in there, like pretty much the day before our first show is when they lifted concert restrictions in Ontario. So we were just playing these ripping shows.
Yeah.
And everyone knew the words. Like, so many people came up to us and was like, I found you over the pandemic. I found you on TikTok. you know, like you like so I had heard Perfectionism was the album of my pandemic so many times.
That's incredible. Congrats.
And like stuff like that, looking back on it, is like really special because yeah. it's obviously like we'll all look back at that 2-year period and be like, that was real fucking interesting, eh?
Yeah.
But for the band it was kind of like serendipitous because like I said, we had to cancel a tour. Charlie like booked an entire American tour that we had to like axe for obvious reasons.
Brutal.
And yeah, oh yeah. And basically it was like one of those things where it was just like we had so much momentum going, everything was on our side, and then it got taken away. And because we had no like indefinite timeline, it was like, how do we know if we're just gonna like be capitalizing on the success that we had over the time? And it turns out yes, thankfully. But yeah, there was a time there where I was like, oh, what are we doing?
I think like knowing how to pivot like is like the secret kind of to this band's success, you know.
Had a few pivots.
Quite a few.
Yeah.
And so kind of when the, you know, lockdown and stuff started happening, I was already, every now and then I'd just go live and play songs for the fans, you know, on social media or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then people really liked that and connected to it. And to me, it was the closest thing I had to playing a concert. So I was down. And then it kind of, it's easy to say that like everything like went up in flames that that we would have gotten to do, and that's true, but like at the same time, who knows if the zeitgeist isn't one of such pain, despair, and loneliness that Perfectionism even feels relevant.
Right, yeah.
You know? So the fact that it was people's, you know, go-to record to deal with that stuff, I think like is kind of in an everything happens for a reason realm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's a real like possibility where like we got to have like a 5-year record cycle that yeah. is continuing right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there was a thing where like, yeah, it came out, pandemic, radio, made videos, we got to do some stuff, we got to do some touring. Then it was like a second wave of people finding it on TikTok.
Yep.
And then we got to tour America. We got to do a lot with it that maybe would have petered out
yeah.
faster. You just never know. And like there's such a reality where it could have just been like, bummer, dude, it's over. Like yeah. that was supposed to be our best record. Like, fuck it. Like,
yeah.
or, you know, or even like with like the EP we made beforehand, like people were, dropping us and making it known that what we were doing now wasn't their cup of tea. And, you know, there's a way that you could have just gone like, just kind of taken your ball and gone home. Like, yep. And just been like, I remember serious conversations with myself at the time, just being like, oh man, this is grim, but it's still like
still worth
what
it.
I want to
yeah.
do. And, yeah. and I think you can
you weren't folding.
Always learn more and pivot and find a new angle.
Yeah. I mean, like ultimately we're at where we are today because of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. The cynic would say you're doing what you should have done 2 years earlier because of the pandemic. But I don't think that's the reality, right?
Yeah.
Like all the cards fall into these places for a reason. So yeah, pandemic was a weird time.
Yeah, it sounds like it. But yeah. it sounds like it could have been, it was worse for some people. I mean,
yeah.
at least you got your record out.
Oh yeah, like we're also very, very, very aware that like,
people lost their jobs.
Yeah, it's
died.
like the problems
yeah,
we have
true.
Are ultimately like champagne problems, you know? Like it's so. Like there's, you know, from the scope of where we were at, that was our experience, but we knew we are very, very aware that ultimately, like, we're fine, you know? Like,
well, speaking of years, the Spotify Wraps came out this week.
Hell yeah.
And I don't have Spotify myself, so I don't have fancy...
Title guy.
Yes, I am a title
guy.
Actually,
nice. That's usually my go-to joke about it. Most people say no.
Yeah, you're two for two now. Yeah. Fucking that up.
Yeah.
yeah. But I saw on Reddit, one Redditor named E-Girl Wannabe. Did you see this post?
No. It's about us or just in general?
Yeah, it was just a picture of their Spotify Wrapped.
Okay, interesting.
5,316 minutes.
Okay.
For you guys.
What? That's really on cool. Reddit?
3.69 days. And that's 11 months, right? Yeah. Or is that December to December? Like, how does Spotify work?
I think it must be. I don't think it's
a full 12 months, or
like it's either January 1st to like whenever they track
November 30th
it,
or whatever.
I think they must do January 1st. I don't know.
I would think so.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, 5,360 minutes. The e-girl wannabe on Reddit wants.
You're gonna have to send
listening.
Me that.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't.
It's on your subreddit.
We have a subreddit?
I didn't know we had a subreddit.
There is a Hotel Miro subreddit.
I'm going on it right now. I creep a lot of...
No, I swear to God.
Yeah,
like,
no, this is
this
actually...
This isn't
it.
Me being
I'm
like,
on Reddit all the time.
This isn't me being cool. I don't... That's rad.
Yeah, there you go. But like... This person... Oh, and there were a couple other posts about it too, but this person spent over 5,000 minutes with you guys listening in their ears in 11 to 12 months.
It's true.
Post-pandemic. That's pretty sick.
That's wild. Top 0.1%.
Yeah, like it's absurd to think about.
Yeah,
and that's, you know,
it's incredible.
But the passion of like music listeners, like I think you get what you put in. Like that's how we feel about how like powerful music can be and how much we like it.
Yeah.
It fuels us, right? So I think I was talking to Zach from the Zolas.
Mm-hmm. I really like Zach.
Zach
seems like a blast.
I love him.
Yeah, he's great.
And he was just talking about how like silly it is to like you know dislike your fans or like think your fans are cringe or what have you, because they are so clearly a reflection of you. And it's like, so I'm just like nothing but stoked that like our fans are so passionate, so willing to put themselves out there, so inclusive. Like, it's unbelievable. And you know, we're not such a household name that it's like that it would be an easy thing to say like Hotel Mira is my favorite band, right? Like,
you can't assume that.
And so many people are willing to do that, man, and from all sorts of places that we've never even been.
Yeah
You know, and it's like, I don't know, that's mind-blowing and super cool to me, because again, going back to just how insecure and fragile human beings are, like, it's so much easier to just be like, yeah, like, you know, whatever. I like Frank Ocean, Nick Cave, and like whatever, Radiohead. Like, nobody's going to pick that apart, because those are all things universally known as thumbs up.
Yeah.
And like
W's.
And these are kids who are like, you know what? I like the crying and jerking off band.
Okay, so okay.
Yeah, I was gonna say like one.
Okay, no, I'm here sitting with a crying and jerking off band.
I'm like,
sitting here with half of the crying and jerking off band.
Where are the other two? Well, you can take a guess.
A little bit of column A, a little bit of column B.
No, it's like, and one of the things I've always said about like this. Damn, you like that joke? I thought you were still laughing. Sorry. Yeah. Like with Hotel Mira and stuff like that, it's like one of the wildest phenomenons as our, like, you know, as we increase like our success, I guess is the best way of putting it, is that it is so crazy just to like write a song. Like, and it sounds so cheesy, but just to like write a song and like put it out and have so many people care about it. Because like I've played in so many bands that have like like done nothing. Like some of the best songs I feel I've ever been a part of have reached like the ears of like the 12 people that saw us at like the Point in Port Moody when we played there on a Thursday night kind of thing. And like speaking off the record, speaking of crying and jerking off, it's like I remember when like we were struggling over how to figure that song out in our jam space, and once we like solved the puzzle, I guess it came pretty naturally.
Yeah.
But now it's like and then we play it to crowds across North America, and hundreds, if not thousands, of people are singing along. It's like it's truly unbelievable.
It's trippy and like. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's like we're so lucky in that department. And it's funny you should bring up like whatever, like making songs that only make it to like 12 people or what have you, because I've been thinking a lot about like how amazing that is too.
Yeah. Like that's just
doing a hobby for the sake of doing
yeah.
it. Like
yeah,
the way
you love it. Totally.
The way that Vonnegut just talked about how it just makes you a more interesting person
I feel that, for sure. like a
more deep feeling person to like write a poem and it's bad, but like finish
but
it.
But at least you're doing it.
Yeah.
Totally.
Like, and yeah, I don't know. It's all gravy. It's just so rad that we get to, be creative on pretty much a daily basis.
Yeah, it's something that I'm never taking for granted.
That's
and
good.
It's awesome.
That's good. Mm-hmm. So what about your Wrapped?
My Wrapped? Okay, so.
Did you get anything surprise you?
Nothing spicy. I listen to a lot of indie rock. Like, it's
okay.
pretty, like, my number one artist was a band from Australia called Spacey Jane.
Okay.
I fell in love with their last record in 2021. It came out in 2020. The reason I discovered them is because I follow Triple J, which is like the big Australia, essentially Australia's BBC,
mm-hmm.
and which is Britain's CBC. but like the hierarchy is happening. But they post their yearly like Hot 100.
Yeah.
Da, 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 da. And I remember at the end of 2020, Spacey Jane's single Booster Seat came in at number 2. And I think Glass Animals, Heat Waves was number one, which is a great song.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone in the comments was like, Spacey Jane was fucking robbed. It should have been Booster Seat. And I was like, fuck, I got to check this song out. Like, if like people are like throwing a storm in the Instagram comments on it.
Ready to fight.
Yeah. And it was unreal song.
Okay. Spacey Jane, Booster Seat.
But they dropped an album this year. And like that album was like most of my top played. And then I had the 1975, because I love their new record, mm-hmm. Being Funny in a Foreign Language. Number 3 was Glass Animals. Because I recently got back into their last record, Dreamland. Number 4 was, let me pull this up, it was Yukon Blonde.
Oh, cool.
Charlie jokes that I'm like a Yukon Blonde super fan, which I kind of am.
Yeah.
I love them. I think they are one of the best bands to ever come out of Vancouver.
Yeah.
And number 5, and I don't know how number 5 got there, actually. It's not a weird one, but it's Two Door Cinema Club.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I don't really actively listen to them, but I have a couple of their songs on, like, running playlists.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I guess, like, maybe it just, like, cycled through the rotation enough that, like, it, like, cracked the top 5 for me. I don't know. It's a weird one.
Interesting.
Got, like, yeah. Songs, I think, were just Spacey Jane and Glass Animals.
Did you pay attention to your Wrapped at all? Is that something you follow?
I'm not a Spotify guy.
No?
I think that, like...
Apple Music?
It hasn't really been how I like mess with music. Like I also really like just YouTubing things and watching live stuff. But I want to always, platform, the OBGMs.
Yeah.
Is one of the best bands in the world.
Probably. One of the best shows I saw this year, for sure.
Oh, I'm so jealous you saw them.
Saw them at DFA?
What's that?
You saw them at
DFA? No, I saw them in Montreal with Nobro.
That's so sad.
At Foufs. At Foufons. And it was...
Shout out to Nobro as well.
Yeah. We had Denz on the show a few months later, and it was a fantastic conversation. Yeah, that record is fucking amazing.
Fun fact, Cole is the drummer on the EP, the Hotel Mirror EP.
Oh, cool.
So I've known them a long time, and I'm pretty ride or die for them, not only as just like, it's fantastic when people that kind and passionate are also making something as good as they're making.
Yeah.
There's a phenom, singer-songwriter, from Vancouver. They're named Kylie V. Incredible lyricist and musician.
Mm-hmm.
With a record called Big Blue that's really good. Who else do I like?
Out of local artists or just in general?
Like Saint both. Vincent. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Saint Vincent's like huge for me. Perfume Genius. I love Set Your Heart on Fire Immediately. Mm-hmm. What else? I saw Nick Cave live this year, so I was like,
where?
Queenie,
yeah.
Yeah, in Vancouver.
Oh, shit,
with like him and Warren Ellis.
Yeah.
It was in that period in like September, like August, September-ish. September?
Yeah, it was kind of like shows.
Yeah, there was just like three shows a week. It's like, are you going to go to Nick Cave, Broken Social Scene, or The Shins? It's like, I play bass. I can't afford this.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
that was a big problem this year too, right? Yeah. It was hard. It was hard. Hard year to afford shows.
We played a show in Washington, D.C. with a band called Pretty Bitter.
Yeah, Pretty Bitter opened for us, and they blew us out of the water, cool. In my opinion.
Great, great, great musicians.
Yeah.
Great people as well. Friday Pilots Club.
Yeah.
Yep.
From Chicago. Always riding for them. So, I ended up listening to like Midnights by Taylor Swift a lot, just almost to stay in the scuttlebutt, or like Arctic Monkeys with the Car.
But you like that record?
But they weren't like my favorite. No, I didn't like that record. Like, I mean,
I'm coming around on it.
My whole thing.
Can you help me figure out how I might want to do the same thing?
Okay. Can I? Yeah.
Please. Because I love Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino.
That was four or five years ago.
And because I love their first three records so much. And then it's a bit hit and miss for me after that.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people just absolutely love AM and think it's the best thing they've ever done. And I'm totally not of that camp. I think it's like fine to good. So when they came out and did Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino, I was like, I really, really respect this. Like, mm-hmm. taking the whole thing for such a turn, like
pivot.
This, such a wild pivot.
Yeah.
To really put your shoulder behind. And I was like, wow, that was a cool record. The last thing I wanted was for the next record to sound anything like it.
I know.
And I don't know. I with Alex, the lyrics are always gonna be good. I just want more records where the songs are above 4 BPM.
Yeah.
Like, same goes with Father John's record this year. Like, it just wasn't for me.
Yeah.
I think with The Car, I am of a similar case. I think I came around on Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino. I thought it was like a really bold record at first. I was like, what the hell is going on? Because I just wanted like another ripper. You know? Like,
yeah.
And then with The Car, it turns out that they kind of just did it again, but slower. And like, Alex Turner just so clearly just wants to write a Bond theme. But I...
Good call. I didn't even think about that.
And like, it's... the reason I'm coming around on it is like, I don't like... I'm never going to like throw... I'm in a mood to listen to The Car. Like, that's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
But I think there's interesting songwriting in a way that I respect from a position that it's like, I could never do that. Like, the decisions that they make and like how they go about forming these songs and writing them and like getting the message across with the instrumentation, and how there's like somehow like just no choruses ever on it. And like, I think that aspect of it is like, I'm kind of like, I'm into it because...
Hello?
Can I come in?
Sure.
Hey.
Why not? Guest appearance.
Sorry.
Hello. Do you know where it is?
Hi, Danielle from Deer Rouge.
Hey, what's up?
What are you doing here?
Yeah.
Do you have a show or something?
Just playing a show.
Good to see you.
This is what we do.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll see you guys later.
See you in a bit.
Speaking of the show tonight,
Anyways, The Car's creative. It's just kind of boring. That's basically it. Okay. That's
I'll walk back, man.
Yeah.
It's like, I love the visuals. Like, I think that like everything they've done visually for the record, like, was awesome. I think the song Body Paint is good. But then, like, the one other thing I'll say is, like, no, it's clearly just so intentional.
Yeah.
So well made. Just, you know, that there is some level of, like, that's not what the band I go to for that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's kind of like, why wouldn't I listen to Nick Cave for the exact same thing? Why wouldn't I listen to Bowie for the exact same thing?
Yeah.
When for some reason there's this like rock and roll thing that's kind of that I talked to Mike about. It's like you turn 32 and you're like, I'll just be Nick Cave.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, no, like that's already happening.
Yeah.
I like the Nick Cave comparison though, because if I want to hear some really slow, moody, beautiful piano ballads that are gonna make me sad,
and like,
think about
you
death.
Listen to the band that wrote, I bet you look good on the dance floor.
Yeah, or my sorrowful, or the band that does My Sorrowful Wife, and you know. Okay, Pete did send a video because I think he had this question.
Oh.
I think it's specifically for you.
Oh, shit.
So we are going to, because again, he's sick and he did not want to risk anything.
Yeah, absolutely.
Saint Anger.
Hey, Hotel Mira and the Road, the Stage. Longtime listener, first time caller. I have a question that I believe Kevin, I read somewhere, has a gym playlist that he uses. It's made up entirely of WWE theme songs.
My name's not Kevin, but this is true.
I would like to know, A, does that playlist make its way into the van during touring sometimes? And what are some of the favorite theme songs from that playlist? Maybe even what is the favorite theme song? Why is it Randy Macho Man's theme song that is your favorite? Because there's no question, that one is the cream of the crop.
That is a great question. My name
is... You guys' name wrong.
I'll take Kevin. I've had worse.
It is you with the WWE playlist?
It is. Okay. I mean, I also...
Kevin Nash.
I also tweeted about that like 4 years ago.
Okay.
In passing. So
deep dive.
That's a deep cut. Yeah, now my gym playlist is mostly apparently Two Door Cinema Club, but also I listen to a lot of podcasts at the gym now.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's kind of just my go-to. But there was a time where I thought it'd be like kind of funny to like for like, you know, it pumps up the wrestling.
Hell yeah.
When I come out. So I might as well just like pump me up at the gym. The ones that I had. The actual answer, which is like super lame and kind of maybe not what the cool answer might be, is that there was a period of time where the WWE hired this like production duo to write a bunch of theme songs for wrestlers.
This was a few years ago, right?
Yeah.
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Whatever
the CFOs.
Yeah. And they wrote like legitimate bangers.
Shinsuke Nakamura's.
Yeah, dude, Nakamura's
Holy
theme.
Fuck,
Unreal
dude.
American by Hulk Hogan.
No, it's not.
American. Yeah.
Not that one. That's a little dated.
Yeah. But yeah, so rules. Like, so it was a lot of the CFO songs. Because I was like, these are actually like kind of sick.
They were sick. Finn Balor's entrance was dope.
Exactly.
Rollins' entrance was dope.
You know exactly what's up. Best theme song of all time?
Glass Shattering Stone Cold.
Probably.
Come on.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Come on.
Anything with
Anything after the glass shattering,
you're set off.
It's a bit Pavlovian, though. It's a bit chicken or egg. If I'd never known that to be associated with what was about to happen, would I still think it was cool?
But that's why you get the pop. I've been trying to teach the boys wrestling terminology. Like
I know quite a bit.
Yeah, I know. Like, with the rest of the boys. But like I'm talking about, like, you know, working and shooting and like marks.
Hey, you're in entertainment.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all works.
We
I loved Attitude Era. I didn't stick with it quite the way that Mikey did, but I loved.
The reason I stuck with it the way that I did is because I went to Raw in 2003.
Changed your life.
Front row, Hurricane gave me his mask right on TV.
Wow.
I've reposted that clip probably once a year on Twitter.
That's incredible.
Yeah, and
you still follow it?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Are you a big AEW guy?
Yeah, I'm a bit more of an AEW guy these days.
Yeah.
I think I was a big New Japan guy, or am, I guess. I went to Wrestle Kingdom 12. Like, I flew to Tokyo with my buddies.
Holy shit, dude.
He's for real.
Yeah, we were just kind of like, it was like in the trenches of like you know, you have those moments in your life where like you're not really looking forward to anything, and then suddenly Chris Jericho challenges Kenny Omega, and three of your buds are just like, "We should go to Japan to watch this." And
dude,
like,
that's crazy.
Sure, sick. Why not?
Go to the Mecca.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's
so
incredible.
Yeah, so stuff like that. I think like one of the best themes in wrestling today. Hard to say. I mean, with AEW licensing everything, it's like, yeah, probably Jane by Jefferson Starship.
Is that what they've been doing? They've been paying for, actual songs?
Yeah,
I didn't realize
actual
that.
Actual songs. It's like Orange Cassidy used to come out to Where Is My Mind by the Pixies.
Right, right, right.
And like, then like that's just what they do. Like, they get real songs. They were gonna get the Final Countdown back for Bryan Danielson because that was his theme in ROH.
Yeah.
But apparently Europe's licensing fees are like $50,000 per play.
Holy shit.
Probably because of Job.
Yeah, honestly,
George Oscar Bluth ruined it for the wrestlers. Yeah, that's a really good point.
But yeah, wrestling playlist, I'll make it public. Why not? It's basically it's only just the CFOs and like a couple throwbacks. Like it's nothing special.
Do you remember when they made that record and The Rock had that song about pie and strudel?
Dude, featuring Busta Rhymes.
Dirty, absolutely filthy. The music/wrestling crossover record. Do you remember his title?
Oh, there's a lot. There's been a couple. No, not that. I think that was like volume 4 or something that. What was I going to say, though?
You guys could get into it, though. You could work on, because NXT had Code Orange show up for Aleister Black's entrance a few years ago. That was so fucking sick.
Yeah, he's buddies with Randy Orton. I went to dinner with Seth
Rollins.
I did a movie with Randy Orton.
Yeah.
Which
was weird.
Was it like one of those like Army or like?
So
it was,
like 12 it has two, the I greatest think. Title ever made in terms of like how much cocaine were people on when they decided to call it this. It's called 12 Rounds Reloaded 2.
Nice, 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 nice.
And you may be thinking to yourself, isn't that 14 rounds?
Yeah.
But no, 12 Rounds Reloaded 2. I was a day player on it, so, but I had two scenes with him, and I was in this shitty trailer, and he had his entire Randy Orton tour bus that he was staying in. And just incredibly, incredibly nice guy, and was like, you know, kind of since we had scenes together, he's like, yeah, come on the bus, like we'll watch Eastern Promises together.
No way, did you actually?
Sure did.
Dude, you.
So I'm on the Randy Orton tour bus watching
Cronenberg
Eastern Promises, and it was so like whatever like. This is the part of it that's like kind of a bummer, but also so rad. Cause he was like, you know, I just kind of like the WWE's, it's really difficult. Like it's a very hard job and the pay is not great. And he was like, so, you know, I'm really hoping this movie like does super well and takes me further so I can like be around my kids more. And I was like, bro, like, did you read the script? Like, this movie's not doing shit for anyone. Yeah. Like, you play a paramedic. Like,
yeah, no. I went to dinner with Seth Rollins because one of my friends was a graduate of Black and Brave.
Oh shit!
So it was a Vancouver house show, and it was when Jinder was champion.
Oh
and the
yeah,
main event
yeah.
was supposed to be Jinder versus Nakamura. It was a SmackDown house show. And Nakamura couldn't make it across the border.
Oh.
Everyone was like, oh, he like, you know, visa issues. And then Rollins was the surprise replacement. And I was with my buddy who went to his school. And we had no idea he was going to be there because it was a surprise. And I was like, text him right now. We're going for dinner after. And yeah, I ended up just chatting, talking about life and over a couple beers. He's a super nice guy.
I've heard really good things about him, too. Yeah.
Like, a bit of a natural heel. Like, that laugh is his actual laugh.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, when he did it, I was like, whoa, crazy. But no, super nice dude, and he did reveal that Nakamura just lost his passport, so there are no visa issues.
Oh my god!
So, yeah, really weird brushes with wrestling.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I think I mean like whatever. It's like it's a strange job, but like
it's also still live entertainment as well.
Yeah,
like, it all, like,
it's incredibly impressive.
Yeah.
Live
it also
entertainment.
Kind of loops back to just like be a good guy, and you'll get hired more.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Totally. Once you're in the kind of ecosystem, like people remember who they liked working with, who they liked talking to.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
It's like, and you—that's the other thing that like do it long enough and the person who was an intern at the radio station ends up being the head of the radio station. Yeah, yeah, so yeah, like totally. Yeah, like in Victoria or whatever, the first time I was over there, the John was wearing a pop shirt and he was like, I don't know, just messing with wires. I don't know how music works. but he was like, yeah, he was like plugging one thing in and taking one thing out. I was like, oh, like, cool shirt, like, I love Pup. And he was like, oh, thanks, man, like, because, you know, we spoke and just like treating each other like human beings and being kind and thinking less about hierarchies, like, you never know, like, and I think that that's like it, I think it's just across all mediums. And even though, like, at my most cynical, I believe the world is like most designed for sociopaths to succeed. I think that being kind and professional, even as a non-ambitious thing, it's just the right thing to do.
Yeah, and if you want to relate it to pro wrestling, I think the proof that being a true heel backstage is not beneficial to anyone is
it's true. A couple things have happened,
been proven many times in the last few months.
That's for a different podcast. we'll chat about wrestling.
there's a unearthing of
a bit of a CM Punk situation, but anyways,
oh no,
lots of juicy drama about, and I don't even watch anymore. I just follow
Pipe
Squared
Bomb
Circle
part two.
Truly the great bomb is what it's called, because he complained about all of his coworkers.
All right, listen, I don't even know how long we've been talking.
Oh, it's all good.
We've been talking for a while.
You're going to get a good use out of the edit button.
No.
I'm sure.
No, we don't edit our show.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
You did say off the record at one point, but you actually meant off the record.
Yes.
Just want to clarify, off perfectionism.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyways, off you need a merch seller tonight?
No, we've almost ran out.
Yeah. Normally we would say yes, but we legitimately like almost sold out of all of our merch last night.
Well, congrats.
Thank you.
And I thought I was working tonight. I guess I'm just checking out the show. Yeah.
Crush some beers.
All right.
We'll talk about CM Punk.
guys, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, dude, thank you so much. Thanks for having us.
Normally my co-host and I do like a proper intro extra, but because here, the Road to Stage is brought to you by this fucking amazing establishment, Bose Bar and Stage, producers Ryan and Riley. Who you guys know Ryan by now pretty well. And they're at Communal Creative Studios, Sawback Brewing, Ghost Services, Inc. Those are our sponsors. And our episodes come out on a day that starts with a W.
Wednesday.
The Road the Stage is produced by Ryan Cooley and Riley Sir Yin at the Communal Creative Studios in Red Deer, Alberta. In partnership with Go Services, Inc., Sawback Brewing Co., Tourism Red Deer, and Bose Bar and Stage.